What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yep, we got a lot to talk about today.
Wow. Right on.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Okay.
Waterloo will sponsor us soon.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
That was so close to the mic, they just heard you slurp that.
Yeah, maybe something like if we inspired them, maybe it's like Waterloo. And then put like a Bible verse right under the sparkling water.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Is it Waterloo in Austin, Texas? Read The address is on there.
Wait, address? Why don't we just show up to their door?
Yeah, there's an address on there, honey.
Is there?
No, it just says the city of where it was made. For the company.
Oh, yeah. Waterloo Austin? Sparkling Water Corporation, Austin, Texas, 78702. Hey, I'm in Austin this weekend, so...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I may go knock on their door, say, "Hey, we have a podcast that's very small, and we would like to be sponsored, so give us free stuff."
Sure.
It's a great pitch.
Yeah. We actually do love Waterloo, though.
Mm-hmm. Only sparkling water we drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if y'all have gotten messages from me or Michelle, it is not a bot. Yes, it is me. I am messaging literally all of... y'all who follow me or like my content or engage with my content, because Michelle and I are trying to get the word out that our coaching program is in full capacity. We have everything set up for it. So yeah, if you get a message from me, yes, it's me. It's not a bot. If you're interested in fitness coaching, go apply in the description down below on our website, on our coaching page. You can find it everywhere. All right, and if you're not following the Better Than Before coaching page, I would recommend you go do that, because not only is it just Michelle sharing client work and whatnot, it's also going to be fun stuff, funny stuff, and we are going to be incorporating a lot of faith into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a typical fitness coaching page at all. Like a lot of fitness coaching pages is, this is why you need to stay in a calorie deficit, or...
It's very educational. Ours is...
Exactly.
We'll have some educational stuff here and there, but yeah, it's...
Ours is going to be very much a... It's going to look like it is run by a family business, because we are doing it our own way.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come across. Yeah. So if y'all just want another page to follow with entertaining, funny, faith, and fitness content, that page is going to be for you, okay?
Yeah.
So enough of just promoting our stuff, because I always feel icky when I do that. However, I would like to coach as many people as possible, because we're in full force now. So, yeah, go ahead, honey. Your turn.
With what?
Just, I don't know. What do you want to say? Anything about... Oh, also, one thing we can say is thank you guys for all of the just congratulations about us... announcing pregnancy.
Yeah.
And thank you guys also for just the genuine concern about how it may play a toll on Michelle and I's mental, because the people that are truly watching and truly followers and, you know, like our content, y'all see the comments just as much as Michelle and I see the comments. And some people accused us of lying. Some people said that this isn't honoring God. Some people say that just
we're not practicing what we're preaching.
Yeah, just a bunch of stuff. And Michelle and I are sitting back like, what good is it for us to lie?
Mm-hmm.
So Thank you guys for just saying, like, y'all need to tune out all the hate comments and whatever. Like, y'all are doing the right thing. What's funny about all this, though, is the majority of people who... There are obviously some outliers who are just hateful people. But there are... A lot of the comments are actually people who watch our stuff and follow our stuff. And are accusing us of these lies and we're not practicing what we're preaching and stuff like that. And... My thought process behind it is, like, I don't think y'all know us at all then, if y'all are saying that. And also, I want to say one more thing about the practice what you preach. I want y'all to understand one thing. When Michelle and I preach our messages, we're not just talking to you guys. We're talking to Michelle and I. Now, this message that we're about to talk about, yeah, we're mainly talking to you guys because Michelle and I are married. But we're going to talk a lot about our past. But that's a conversation we're going to get into a little bit. But yeah, the whole practice what you preach. Well, you also have to understand that nobody's perfect as well. And I'm not trying to justify it or anything. But when we talk about justifying your sin on the last episode, it's like, yeah, we are doing our best to practice what we preach. However, there's going to come a time where Michelle and I probably justify our sin on something. All right. So that's also what I want to say, because you saying, oh, well, you're not practicing what you preach. Well, I mean, we can say the whole, well, look at the log in your eye, but I mean, it's kind of true. It's like, why are you even saying that, dude? Yeah. I bet you've said things too that makes you look like a hypocrite. That's all I got to say on that matter. So thank you guys. It's really good on Michelle and I's mental health when y'all say stuff like, hey, tune out the hate. Y'all are doing the right thing. So yeah, thank you guys. Claps for the crowd. All right, honey, go ahead.
I'm glad that you addressed that. I let a lot of them get to me because I had a lot of people questioning our character and why we were saying those things when, quote unquote, in their eyes, we didn't do what we were preaching about. They can believe whatever they want to believe. But you also have never been pregnant, probably, for the people that commented that, and you don't know how they actually calculate your due date. So we know for a fact when it happened, it was a very special moment, and it was on our wedding night, believe us or not. But what we're talking about today is something that we slipped up on before we gave our lives to Jesus. And after we gave our lives to Jesus, this was the biggest thing that we were actually going to try wholeheartedly to actually do, you know, and live up to God's word. We can slip in other ways, like we can gossip, we can, you know, do all these other things, but sex before marriage was something that Asher and I really prioritized. And it was really special to get to share that moment together on our wedding night for the first time. So,
So I don't want to say that's why we're making this episode, but,
That, I mean,
we did not have sex at all as boyfriend or girlfriend or engaged, and whether or not y'all believe it or whatever, I mean, Michelle and I don't really care. We would like for y'all to believe us because I think it would be weird if we were to lie about it.
Well,
like, that's kind of nuts.
Here's what got me. There was some comments saying, like, one person commented and said, wow, that's a little crazy, don't you think? That, like, it happened on our wedding night. The one time when we know it happened. And it's like, well,
Yeah, it's very crazy.
That's actually a God thing. That's why we have so much faith that this baby's supposed to be on earth. You know, it's like that was just such a special moment. And the chances of me getting pregnant that night, like I was ovulating that entire week. But the last, that was the last day or the day after my last day of ovulation, because your app can vary. You'd never know. Based on an Apple app that tracks your periods, you know, like you never actually know when the day is, but there was a very low percentage. And we took a chance because we were sharing a moment, and here we are pregnant. So it's just, and God's capable of miracles. So the fact that you're questioning, oh, well, yeah, that's a little crazy. Like, basically saying that it happened before we were married.
Exactly.
It's like, you're missing the whole point of us sharing our story. You know, the whole point of sharing that story was, obviously, one, we want to let you guys know, but two, we also want to know, we also want you to know, like, how much God's capable of. Like, the chances of me getting pregnant that night were pretty slim. And it happened. You know?
It wasn't the because you can take it both ways. Whoa, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like a dang, God's doing crazy things. Yeah. But this was a sarcastic, that's a little crazy, don't you think? Like, things aren't adding up. It's like, you can believe us or not. But at the end of the day, we confess as followers of Jesus. We have a Christian podcast.
Yeah.
And we also have a Christian coaching business.
Yeah.
Y'all really think we're going to lie on the internet to gain some clicks? Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people probably do that, but come on. Y'all got to know our character a little bit
more. You know what's actually funny, honey, is when we found out we were pregnant, we had a conversation and we were like, our story in general was already crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then to add that on top of it, I literally told Asher once we were leaving urgent care, or it was like a little bit after that, once we found out, I literally looked at him and said, I promise there is something going on. Like, there is almost, it's almost like God is like, here's reasons for you guys to stand out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying that to sound like, oh, God's hands all over my life and not yours. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm super blessed compared to the average person. But like, the fact that our story was already so crazy, mm-hmm. and then he adds us getting pregnant on our wedding night to it, it's like, God, I feel like, is literally like, here's just reasons as to why,
yeah.
like, you guys stand out. It's mm-hmm. like, what? And I also want to share this because this has been on my heart recently, but I've been going back and forth with God because I'm like, why me? And I feel like a lot of times people can ask that and they're like, why did this happen to me? You hear someone else's story or you see someone else's story and you're like, well, they're not in the situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, why am I in this situation? What makes me so quote unquote special, you know? And I've been going back and forth with God a lot about it because I'm like, why me? Like, I've messed up so much my entire life. And then after I gave my life to Jesus, I was still messing up, you know, like my sanctification process was pretty slow.
Yeah.
And I was really stubborn because I thought that my way was better for a while when I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm like, now I'm in this position where I literally write down a prayer in my prayer journal about marrying literally Asher. I meet him through the internet and I'm like, whoa, this is literally what I wrote down. This is exactly who I want to marry. We meet, we get along great. We get engaged. I move to Texas and we get married 6 months later and we get pregnant on our wedding night. And all I kept thinking, like every time I go into prayer, is I'm like, why me? Like, why, what makes me so special to like receive all of these blessings? But it's like, I've prayed for them.
Yeah.
They're in that prayer journal that I sit down and write down. I promise you, there are so many prayers in there that I can literally count that have came true. And I'm like, why am I questioning God's faithfulness to me?
Yeah.
You know? So when you hear someone else almost question that, it's like, you don't understand what's going on in my head.
Yeah.
Like, you can comment all that stuff and say like, oh, it's kind of crazy, don't you think? Or like, accuse us of lying. But it's like, you don't understand the battle that I've been going through,
yeah.
wondering what makes me so worthy of receiving this,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's just something I wanted to get out there because it's been on my heart. Cause I'm like, we are so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, obviously we have hard times. Like, we go through tough things, you know, like, I'm focusing on the good, obviously. If you've been following us for a while, listening to our story, like, my parents got divorced and I found out a lot of stuff about my family that I didn't know. And so like, that took a toll on me, but I'm not going to sit here and dwell on that. I'm focusing on how blessed we are mm-hmm. in the situation that we're in right now and how much God cares about us. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's my little spiel.
Yeah. Great introduction, honey. Wow. Okay. Just really, really big day for all of us. I mean, truly, just super special.
Yeah. I just want to be vulnerable
yeah.
and share that because I'm sure there's a lot of people that also go through that where they're like, what makes me worthy of this?
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like that's why a lot of times people have trouble coming to Jesus because they're like, I'm not worthy of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they receive his grace and his mercy freely once they accept him. And it's like, okay, this is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You don't earn it. You know, like, this was all given to us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's what I've been studying so much about in Romans 4. That's we're going to talk about that another time. All right. Yeah. We could talk about that for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, honey. So clap it up for Michelle. Great job.
Thanks.
That's
honey.
My wife.
Yeah.
Thanks. I was about to say, that's my girlfriend.
Yeah. No.
But, well,
way past that.
You are my girlfriend.
Well, yeah.
Always going to be my girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's my girlfriend on date nights and my wife all the other days.
Yeah. So tonight, because tonight's yeah. our date night.
Yeah. I don't mean that literally, obviously.
Yeah.
I just like saying I'm taking my girlfriend out.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So why should we not have sex? Let's just get into it.
Okay.
Why not?
So the other day, Asher and I were talking about what we were going to talk about this week. And I was like, you know what? It's been heavy on my heart for a while to talk about sex before marriage, because we've mentioned like temptations when you're in a relationship and, you know, all that stuff, especially when we were engaged. We talked about a lot because we were struggling. And the reason why I want to talk about this topic so much is because I feel like, especially in today's generation, it's so normal to do it.
Yeah.
And it's praised. And when I first gave my life to Jesus, that was the first thing that Jesus took out of me, the desire to want to do that. And it was, you're going to wait until marriage. And I knew that it was wrong that I had done it before. So unfortunately, Asher and I both have had sex with other people
unfortunately.
Before we were married. Very, very unfortunate.
Yeah, really stinky.
And when I gave my life to Jesus, I knew that I was doing something wrong, especially like in that moment. But I kind of like pushed it away mm-hmm. and like never truly dug into why it's a thing. And I feel like when you're younger, you hear pastors say like, don't, it's always, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And they never really explain why
yeah.
that's in the Bible. God has a reason for everything. And so that was something that I dove into early on in my relationship with Jesus. And I watched sermons and I listened to literally scientists
yeah.
talk about what happens to us when we do that outside of the right context. And it opened my eyes so much to why he wants us to wait. And I was so passionate about it, even in our relationship. Like, yeah, we slipped up in other ways, but we never had sex because it was something that I was like, yeah, we knew we were going to get engaged, or we knew that we were going to get engaged. And then we also knew that we were going to get married because we were engaged, right? We were moving on that path, but it was like, we're not in the right context yet. So mm-hmm. you and I made that a priority. You know, it was always like a, that's off the table kind of thing. So I just really wanted to talk about this because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about the why, and they always just say like, don't do it, or you just automatically know that you shouldn't be doing it. So I wanted to go more in depth as to why God designed it that way and why it's actually a really, really good idea, and the reason why he puts it in his word and makes it a priority is because he loves us, mm-hmm. not because he wants to hold it back from us.
Yeah.
It's because he loves us and he cares about us so much.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw out a bunch of questions that will probably be answered during this podcast. So one, why did God create sex for only your wife or your husband to have sex with, no one mm-hmm. else? Second question is, why should I trust in God that that is the right way? Because I have sex now and I'm still happy. Okay. That's another question we'll probably answer. Three is, like Michelle answered, well, I'm getting married anyway, so why does it matter that I wait? Fourth, this is a big one. There is no marriage ceremony in the Bible that, you know, that justifies me having to wait for the marriage. So why do I have to wait if that wasn't in the Bible? Okay. That's a fun question to answer. That's also like saying, well, I'm going to smoke marijuana because God said it was good.
Because he invented it.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that question because that's something we hear from Christians a lot. And the heart posture behind this question is literally, I'm selfish. Mm-hmm. Justify me. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And you can argue with me, you know, send me Deuteronomy, Leviticus. You can send me Exodus. You can send me the ceremonies in, what is that, John 1, John mm-hmm. 2 or something, where Jesus was at a ceremony. Mm-hmm. And you can send me all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to change and say, yeah, I think that you should have sex before your wedding night. I'm mm-hmm. never going to say that. Mm-hmm. All right. You can send me all the Bible verses in the entire world. I will read them, but I will guarantee you that the Lord Jesus will not say, son, I am so proud of you. Mm-hmm. You had sex before your wedding night. Mm-hmm. I am so glad you did that. Mm-hmm. That will never, ever in a million years come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much Bible you send me to justify it. That will not come out of his mouth. In the same way, Jesus will not say, you know what? Thank you for smoking that weed before you got in my word. I bet that helped you so much. Mm-hmm. He will never say that.
Yeah.
He won't. And let's get into it. All right. That's all.
Yeah. And another thing I feel like is important to just touch on, because we can give you Bible. We can give you actual scientific brain activity as proof. Mm-hmm. But you can also take it from us because we've been in your shoes.
Yeah.
Right. So like, we both have had sex before marriage with other people before we gave our lives to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We are now in a marriage that waited to have sex until marriage.
Yeah.
We have been in your shoes. So yeah. I don't want to hear, you're married, you guys just don't understand. No, we do understand.
Yeah.
Because we've been in relationships that have had sex in them without marriage.
Yeah.
And without Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're yeah. just speaking from experience that being on the other side, it is so worth the wait.
Yeah. And I will say one more thing, because we'll probably, I don't know if this is going to come across someone who doesn't believe, or maybe they do believe, but they didn't wait. This is also something that a question may arise. Well, we didn't wait and we're married and we're very happy. So does this really matter? We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, honey.
All right. So I took a lot of notes.
Yeah. This is Michelle's gig. We kind of switch up on weeks of like who runs the show, kind
of.
Yeah.
Well, there are some topics that each of us individually are a little bit more passionate
yeah.
about.
Yeah. I'm more of like on the Bible side, as y'all know from yeah. my YouTube channel. Like yeah. I'm more of the Bible teaching side. And uh-huh. I think Michelle's more on the... I would, you know what? I would like to say, honey, that you're more on the relational side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not only like relationships, but I'm talking about relationship with God.
Yeah.
You're more of like on that side. Not saying it's not important to me, but I think I'm more of on the what does the Bible say mm-hmm. / theology side. Mm-hmm. So let's get it, honey.
Yeah. All right. So first, I want to talk about Genesis 2, 23 through 24. So it says, at last the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and two are united into one. It doesn't say to the woman. Yeah. It says joined to his wife. So when you get married and you have sex, you become one. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have never felt that more than our wedding night. Mm-hmm. I was in hysterical tears and felt like I don't even know how to explain it. It was an outer body experience. And I could feel us literally becoming one. Mm-hmm. Like, we stood at the altar and we made it legally known to God mm-hmm. and to our family and friends there that we were married. We were married the second we left the altar. Okay. We went home. And then we officially became one.
Correct.
And it was that moment where I was like, we are actually one.
Correct.
Now. We are one flesh.
Correct. So this is one thing I want to point out, guys. It's So one thing I want to point out, Michelle and I were not married in the eyes of God at the altar.
Correct.
We were married in the eyes of God when we had sex.
It's a two-part thing.
Yeah.
We gave our vows, right?
Right.
We told our, in front of our friends and family, we made a promise to God that we would be married for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And however, then we went home and sealed the deal.
Right. The covenant happens when I entered inside of Michelle. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to make this as clean as possible.
Yeah.
All right. That's when the covenant happened.
Yeah.
All right. The ceremony in itself is a legal binding.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I want to say. Sex is perverted in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't care if you're engaged. I don't care if that's your girlfriend. I don't care if y'all plan on getting married.
I don't care if y'all have been together for 10 years.
Yeah. Sex is perverted.
Yeah.
All right. Also, what I will say is anything can happen. So you justifying saying, I'm going to have sex before my partner, before the ceremony, because I know we're going to get married, or I know this is us getting married in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you this right now. How many times have you sinned and ran away from God? This is no different from that. The reason why I say it's so important for you to get married at the altar or go to the courthouse or whatever is because it's going to be a lot harder to run away from that person.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
God hates divorce, mm-hmm. all right? So you're going to think twice about having sex with that person when you know I got to sign papers and be with this person for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say this as well. And then we'll get on to the next thing. You saying, I know I'm going to marry this person. I know I'm going to marry this person. We're engaged, whatever. So I'm going to have sex with them. You've probably had sex before,
mm-hmm.
but this person's different.
Yeah.
All right. So what I don't hear this from is I never hear this from virgins.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Virgins are afraid of sex until they're married.
That is so true. The only people who are like, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's because they already know what it feels like and they miss it.
Exactly.
It's not about the person.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
And I'm about to get into
this,
but yeah.
That's exactly my point, is you miss the dopamine that you've gotten with the sex from past relationships. This is a new person, and you see a future with them. So you want to experience that dopamine again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go on this point, too, and say you may even want to experience the dopamine to see if that dopamine is good enough to marry the person.
If the sex is good.
Yeah. If the sex is good, what people like to say.
Test drive your car before you buy it.
Yeah. And again, I know there are going to be a lot of people that say, well, we had sex before marriage and we've been married for 34 years. I'm great for you guys. You know, I never once did I say it can't work.
Yeah.
Or it won't work you doing that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that God says that Michelle and I did not follow, have not followed, and probably will continue to fail on the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying we can't do it because God gives us free will. However, God puts us in place to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'll give you all a very, very simple example. A speed limit is put on the road at 30 miles per hour for what? For protection. If you go 40 miles per hour, what's going to happen if there's a cop there? You're going to get pulled over and get a ticket. Okay, it's not like the speed limit sign was put in place because you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was put in place to protect you from possibly getting in a car wreck or getting pulled over by the cop.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of that is you getting a ticket. So to go back on the sex part, you having sex for marriage could have a consequence of you having a selfish ambition with it, and that could play a horrible role futurally in your marriage or relationship, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the next point that I wanted to talk about was the selfish part.
Mm-hmm.
So in Exodus 20, verse 17, it talks about covetedness. So like
your wife, your neighbor. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do not covet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So taking part in sexual pleasure outside of marriage is literally covetedness, that's what you're taking part in, right? So if you have sex with someone you're not married to, you are taking part in a pleasure to yourself and to delight in what does not belong to you. So that person that you're with, if they're not married to you, they don't belong to you.
Yeah.
We all belong to God. Even though we're married, I still belong to God.
Yeah.
But we entered a covenant and I now one with you.
Yeah.
Right? So I have a relationship with God and I'm one with you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it should be. But if you take part in sexual relations with someone that you're not married to, you are literally delighting in selfish pleasure from someone who belongs to God.
Yeah.
Who is not your property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the whole point behind marriage. It's not like, yeah, legally get married, you know, so you can change your name and, you know, the government can't separate you guys and all this stuff. It's like marriage is a symbol of God's covenant with us.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine how holy that is. And you ripping that away from someone just because you're selfish and you want to pleasure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah.
So apart from being selfish, another part of you wanting to do that outside of marriage is literally the shallowest illusion of intimacy you can ever experience. You are taking part in something with someone that you're not one with. And who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You think that's intimacy? You dating someone or meeting someone on the street or in a bar and taking them home and having sex with them? You think that is intimacy? No.
Yeah.
You know what's intimacy is getting married and having sex with someone you know is never going to leave you because mm-hmm. they've made a promise in front of God that they're going to be with you for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's intimacy.
Yeah.
The fact that we can leave that bedroom and I know you're never going anywhere. I mean, not trying to be too TMI, but we were in the middle of it the other night and you said nothing's ever going to split us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed with you. And what happened after that moment? What did I start doing?
You started crying.
Yeah. I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because it was special.
Yeah.
You know, like experiencing that outside of marriage and outside of Jesus, I knew that that moment right there was something that I wish I would have gotten right and that I just felt so safe in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want to say one thing, honey, because this just popped into my head. I think we may be getting into this later, but I'm gonna say it now. So when people say, you know, I'm getting married to this person, I want to have sex with them before marriage, stuff like that, usually this is coming from the person who's had sex before,
mm-hmm.
right? Because to tell you the truth, the person who hasn't had sex, they don't really know how to address it, mm-hmm. right? Or they're almost, I don't want to say afraid of it, but like if they're believers and virgins, no, they're waiting.
Well, they understand.
Yeah, they understand. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to say two things. So the first is if you're trying to justify, because everyone wants to get married, that is, you know, with someone. Yeah. Right? If you're single, I'm not really talking to you. But if you're in a relationship wanting to have sex with a partner, you've probably been in other relationships. You've probably had sex with other people. How'd that work out for you? Are you with them or are you not with them?
Mm-hmm.
You're not with them. And you may be saying, oh, well, the sex didn't cause that. Like they were just a bad person. Okay. Well, what I will say is the sex also hindered their bad qualities because
mm-hmm.
you were attached to that dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So you were like, I'm just going to block this out and then this is going to be good and then yep. we'll be fine. And this is what I will say too, because I know a lot of y'all are going to come at me and say, y'all just said that the covenant happened when I entered inside Michelle. That's when the covenant happened. So if I know I'm going to get married to this person, why don't I have sex with them? Here's what I will say is the past relationships you've had when you've had sex with them, you know what happens when y'all break up and y'all stop having sex? You'll actually get a divorce in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sex is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Is it's not like, oh yeah, I broke up with her. No, actually you got a divorce.
Yeah.
And how many souls are you still tied to?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very unfortunate. I talked to Michelle about this and I wish I couldn't admit this out loud. I have dreams about the first girl I've ever had sex with. Mm-hmm. Not sexually, but she shows up in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate it. I'm not saying she sucks, she's a bad girl, I hate her. I'm not saying any of that. I wish she was not in my dreams, though. Mm-hmm. I hope she's having a great life. I hope she gets married, kids, all that stuff. I still want nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying if I wouldn't have had sex with her, then she wouldn't be showing up. But, you know, in a way, my soul is still tied to her, mm-hmm. which is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So you could even go one step further and be like, I'm technically cheating on her.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you can go one step further and further and further and be like, not only did I get a divorce, I'm also cheating on her.
Yeah.
Because when I had sex with her, I indirectly made a covenant with God. And so that's a whole nother step we could go. But go on, honey. I just wanted to make that point.
No, that was really good. Yeah. And I'll go a little bit more in depth about that. I also just have a note here that it's sex outside of marriage is also just a temporary escape from loneliness.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will have sex with people that they're not even dating because they're just lonely mm-hmm. and they just want that attention and they want to feel loved.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, sex with a imperfect human is not going to help that. And if you're doing that and you're calling yourself a believer in Jesus, I pray for you.
Yeah.
But if you're not a believer in Jesus and you are still doing that, I also just pray for you, but I pray that you find a relationship with Jesus because that is what is going to make you feel fulfilled and no longer that loneliness. Are you still going to be lonely? Sure. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was still lonely. I wanted to get married. You know, there were times where I was sitting in my apartment like, dang, this kind of sucks, you know, but that's not what I was focusing on. I was overjoyed because I had been saved from my sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And I had a savior who loved me so much that he was willing to die for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I also want to go on and talk about like people using the excuse of everyone's doing it.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of times people will be like, they'll justify their sin, not even just sex, just any sin, whether it's drinking like, or getting drunk. We know that having a drink is not a sin, but getting drunk is a sin. And you might be justifying that because you're like, well, everyone else is doing it. You know, like it's okay to do that. We've talked about this on another episode before, but Romans 12:2 tells us to not conform to the patterns of this world and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we're not called to be like the world. So if you're doing something because, oh, well, everyone else is doing it, you're not following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like just being transparent with you,
mm-hmm.
because the second we go against the grain and we're swimming upstream while everyone else is just lazy rivering, you know, down the stream, we are swimming up because we're followers of Jesus and the world is not going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You can clearly see it with every avenue in today's society that they are all going against the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are called to be different.
Yeah.
So that's just another reason as to how you know you're doing something wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're doing it because everyone else is doing it, well, you're probably sinning.
Yeah, it's, you know what's crazy? It's kind of a key indicator, right? Yeah. It's like, isn't it a key indicator that you're asking me over DM if you can have sex with your partner before marriage? Isn't that a key indicator that, like, that's not what the Word of God says? Because
mm-hmm.
this is one thing I will say. You didn't ask your pastor that because you're embarrassed to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely didn't say that in your small group.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely wouldn't confess that to God and just say, hey, I believe your Word says this. That's why you're asking me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just being honest. I mean, if you can't go to your pastor and ask a question, you got to ask some guy on the internet because you think they're going to justify your sin. Isn't that just a key indicator?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine, honey, us going up to John when we were engaged and me saying, John, we're pregnant. I would be, like, seriously, think about that.
Yeah.
Because not only would that put us in a weird situation, imagine what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, kinda. I don't know what he would say. He would probably say congratulations, but there would also be some, wait, y'all aren't married yet?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all are having a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know why I brought that point up. I just feel like I needed to say it. If you can't bring it up with your pastor, then it's pretty night and day.
Yeah.
I don't care what. I don't care if you're a Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox. I don't care what you are. If you can't bring it up to some elder, your priest, your pastor, your youth group leader, whatever, if you can't bring it up to them and ask them, hey, could I actually have sex before I get married? Just ask them that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Don't explain them the situation. Just ask, hey, can I have sex before marriage? They're going to say no. And then, you know what? You know what would be great for y'all to ask? It would be great then to say, well, I'm engaged and I know I'm going to get married, so why can't I? They're going to give you a great explanation.
You know what they would probably say? I don't know if they would give an explanation. They would probably say, okay, let's go in there right now and get you guys married. And the guy's like, oh, never mind. No, I'm not ready. And it's like, oh, okay, so you didn't mean that. That's probably what he would do.
Honey, I didn't even realize that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're probably right.
He can marry you right there.
If we were to ask John, hey, John, we're pregnant, he would probably say, all right, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
But let's go to my office real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a whole nother conversation is, okay, you want to have sex for marriage.
Go get married.
Okay. So you can call the courthouse, say, I'll be there at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah. Pay $10.
Yeah.
Have all the sex you want.
Yep.
If you're really about it.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, actually, I don't know. Okay, well then you're actually not trying to get married, dude.
Chances are, if you're messaging us saying, well, we plan on getting married, there's probably a good chance that you're just saying that.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people that have actually meant that, mm-hmm. and they've either gotten engaged or they're about to get engaged. That's fine. But some people saying, well, yeah, I see myself getting married to her.
I see myself getting married to her. Okay, well, if you see yourself, you think that vision's from God.
Go get married.
I mean, the courthouse 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you want to get married today? See what they say. If they say no, see you later. Dump them.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah.
I mean,
we now know two couples that have just gone to the courthouse or mm-hmm. had their pastor just go ahead and marry him right there.
Yep.
Because they were living in sin.
Yep. Living together. They gave their life to Jesus. They tried it. They tried to live in the same house. And the temptation was too strong. And they called their pastor and they said, yeah, can you marry us tomorrow? He said, yep, I'll be there.
Yep.
They got married. They had their ceremony months later.
Yeah.
I think it was like a year, I think. Or was it 6 months?
No, it was only like 6 months.
Oh, 6 months. Yeah. Whatever it is. Still.
They were married on their wedding day.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
And they don't care.
And
because they were honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
They have other friends that I think did the same thing.
And so that's, yeah. And that's a testimony to, you don't have to have a ceremony to get married. You don't. You have to say your vows before God and then, you know, do the business. But okay. Let's go, honey. I have to say, I'm going to wrap Michelle out real quick. She is wearing the business at home work fit. Okay? She's wearing Nike shorts with a nice top because y'all can't see her legs. Had to rat you out on that one, honey.
Okay. Yeah. In my defense, I don't really have pants that fit me other than shorts right now.
Yeah. It was so
waist
funny.
Waist is getting a little bigger.
It was so funny. I've seen, because I don't work for a corporation or anything, but it's so funny because I'll see my buddy James or whatever do like memes on his Snapchat and he's like getting ready for my 8 a.m. meeting and he's like on video games or whatever. He has like a bathrobe on with a wife beater, like a tank top.
Mm-hmm.
He takes off the bathrobe and then just slips on a polo and then he's still in his boxers.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. No, it's so true.
Yeah.
I do that for work meetings too. I am. Thanks for ratting me out.
Had to rat her out.
Yeah.
She does it to me. So.
Yeah. I do out you a lot. It's okay. Yeah. So you made this comment about this earlier, but sex literally blinds you to what a person is truly like, and you'll excuse so much of their behavior because you've been intimate with them. This is something that I experienced firsthand, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So speaking from experience, I'm not just throwing this out there. I've literally experienced this. I think my college relationship is probably the best example because I was blind to so much of his behavior. He was so selfish And I pray he's a really good guy now, but our relationship was just very unhealthy. And I held on to it for so long and struggled through mental health issues throughout that whole thing because I was binded to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I couldn't leave. And I felt like there was no one else. And I felt like I was just going to be alone for the rest of my life unless I stayed with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he even disagreed on a lot of things that I was passionate about. And I never once was like, oh, you know what? This probably isn't a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was always just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to work through it. We're just fighting right now, or we're on a break. We went like a week without talking. You know how people do that sometimes. And it's like, yeah that's going to solve so much. It makes you blind to what they're really like because you've been intimate with them and you're literally obsessed with the person.
Yeah.
Because you've been intimate.
Come here.
Bella is being so needy. Come here. She wants her daddy.
Okay. Yes. You want to say hi to the camera? Okay.
YouTube viewers can see her.
Oh, yeah.
She is so obsessed with him, let me tell you. Yeah. It was so funny because before Asher moved in, he told me, he joked and said, Buddy is going to be a mama's boy and Bella is going to be a daddy's girl. And...
Nope, they both gravitate now towards me.
They both are obsessed with him, and I'm just over here chilling. But yeah.
Our kid's not going to be like that, though. Our kid's going to gravitate towards you, I bet.
I think it'll be very mutual.
You think?
Yeah. Do you have anything to add on that point?
No, not really. I mean, I kind of stated my piece earlier. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, again, people watching this, y'all can justify it and say, oh, no, I don't have blinders up or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you can say that as much as you want. But what I will say, when y'all break up, you're going to see how messed up that relationship actually was.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I will say, because the blinders are going to be down by that time.
Yep.
So I'm going to say I'll give it a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this episode's going to hit harder because you're going to be like, oh, dang, they actually were right. And this is nothing about us being right or wrong. This is us trying to protect
you. This is us... showing you that God's word actually has meaning.
Yeah.
It's not just a book that we read that we try to follow to the best of our ability. No, the things that he writes in here are in there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to give you examples that we've been through to help you out. So yeah. Now I want to get into the science behind it. I found a really good article and I'm going to link it below so that you guys can go through and read it if you truly want to go like more in depth.
Sure.
Because it's really helpful. But this is, I heard a sermon and there was a woman that came on that actually explained all of this. So I wanted to make sure that I explained it on here because this was another thing that like really hit me hard. Because I feel like, especially early on in your walk with Jesus, or if you're like lukewarm and kind of like staggering the line a little bit, God's word really doesn't have that big of an impact on you yet.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? Yeah, I know it says it in there, but this, but that. And that's when the justifying comes in. But getting scientific research back about what sex actually does, you don't think God created it like that for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with like having kids. When atheists are like, yeah, I don't believe in God. And it's like, you really think that an explosion can make me literally produce a child in my stomach? I'm growing its organs.
I have a rebuttal.
What?
Yeah, evolution.
Yeah. I'm not getting into that today.
Michelle and I have been really into apologetics, or I really have. I'm reading this book called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need to Steal from God to Make Their Case by Frank Turek. Very good book. Before we get back into this topic, I'm going to say one thing, cause this is just the best question ever. If you're in a discussion with someone, whether it's a non-believer or someone of a different religion, ask them one question. The only question you should ask them is, if Christianity were true, would you believe in it?
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, don't talk to them because they're not on a search for truth. If they say, oh yeah, absolutely, you better be ready to back up why Christianity is true.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me, how do I defend my faith? Ask one question.
Yeah.
That's
all. Well, then you know the basis of where they're at.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if they say yes, then you can have an open conversation with them and actually.
And if they say probably or sure, I would be hesitant on continuing the conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead, honey. All right. Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted I just wanted to dabble that in real quick.
Yeah, that was good. I love it when people are always like, oh, science disproves God. And it's like, no, if anything, science actually proves God.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason for everything. Yeah. Right. So this is going to be one of them. So here's the science. Having sex releases dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin, I think is how you say it.
Okay.
So dopamine is what makes a person feel good after an exciting experience.
Sure.
It also gives us the desire to repeat that behavior that caused us so much good sensation. So this is where addiction comes in, whether it's drugs, sex, alcohol, anything.
Anything video that's games, gonna, TV.
It can be literally, reality TV is a big one.
Sure.
That used to be mine.
Yeah.
I was addicted to it.
Sure.
Thank the Lord for that deliverance. But no, it's...
You can be addicted to The Office, but hey, that's justified in God's eyes. You're good.
Okay. Ash was a big Office fan. No, but that's...
I'm only being serious.
That's what causes addiction, and that's what causes like people to go back to having sex, right? Yeah. That's why it's so hard for them to stop doing it once they do it. Mm-hmm. Same with getting drunk or, you know, taking a hit of something, weed or whatever it is, you know? Sex, however, is one of the strongest generators of dopamine reward.
Mm-hmm.
How scary is that? Imagine, like, just to put it into perspective, like how strong having sex actually is. It's not just something that we just throw around.
Yeah.
You know, like you get your biggest dopamine hit from having sex. And I mean, shoot, I can be having a bad day. We can go in the bedroom. And I'm like, yes, this is great. But you know what? It's like, it's in the right context.
Yeah.
That's why God designed it that way. Yeah. It brings couples together, especially if you're going through something, right? We're about to go through a roller coaster of a season when we have this baby. And it's going to keep us binded together, you know, that we're not leaving and that we're still in love.
Yeah. We went through a roller coaster of a season when Michelle was going through the first trimester. We couldn't really have sex or anything. Yeah. And not that Michelle and I were like...
dependent on it.
Yeah, dependent on it or like feeling far from each other. Yeah. But we weren't feeling far from each other. But what I will say is when we started having sex again, we definitely felt closer to each other.
Yeah.
You feel more connected to your partner.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one was oxytocin. So it's important to bonding and trust. So when that's released, it causes a woman to trust a man even after a one-night stand.
Wow, really?
So oxytocin is stronger in women. Yes. So that bond and trust explains why it can be so painful emotionally when sexually active partners break up.
Interesting.
That's why girls go into a spiral.
Yeah.
Because they were so attached to that person.
Wow, interesting.
That they had a hard time dealing with it after. It also explains why so many women hold on to abusive relationships and unhealthy ones.
Yeah.
I did that. Mine were so unhealthy and I hung on to them so much.
Interesting.
Because I was bonded and it created trust that he never gave me. That's what it did.
Yeah.
So you and I, when we got engaged, I already trusted you so much. Mm-hmm. I told you that. And I got that trust from you without you being intimate with me.
Yeah.
So it got stronger when we were intimate. Imagine meeting a stranger and having sex with them and immediately trusting them. And they can be totally opposite of what you thought they would be.
You know what I just, caught? Do you think that that's, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but do you think that's one of the reasons why God wants a man to lead the relationship?
I'm going to get to that.
Okay, sure.
Yep.
Yep, here we go. Yep. Mom's cooking over here.
So, sure. Vasopressin initiates the bonding in the brain in males. So it's similar to what I said about oxytocin in females. So sex actually hurts women more than it hurts men when they break up.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly why a man is called to lead the relationship. Because naturally, women are more weak and are able to just say, yeah, let's just do this.
Exactly.
They give in,
yeah.
Right? And they follow the man's lead. And usually the man is sexually driven in today's society.
Right.
If you're not a believer in Jesus, you're probably very driven by sex. and you probably have sex with girls that you go on a date with once and they are bonded to you, here's what's messed up. Here's what really, really gets me. I'm not saying that this is true for every relationship that has ended like this, but what I will say is I am sick and tired of hearing men talk about how crazy women get when they break up. Okay? Let me explain. You meet someone. I'm just going to use a college relationship as an example. Okay? You go out to a bar. You meet this, you know, good-looking woman that you're really attracted to. Okay? You take her home. You guys have sex. You don't want to date her. You just wanted to have sex with her. She is now attached to you.
Yeah.
She messages you. She calls you. She's bonded to you. And you go out and tell your friends that she's crazy, she's psycho, and that she's super attached for no reason. Do you understand what you just did to her brain? And you're saying, oh, it's her fault. When you were, I'm giving this example of the man initiating it. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's why I said I'm not saying this is true in every situation, because a lot of times women will initiate it and they'll do it to themselves.
Sure.
But I'm saying that's one thing that drives me nuts, because a lot of men walk around with their head held high and say, oh, these girls are crazy out here. You got to be careful. And it's like, well, yeah, it's because you're having sex with them and you're leaving them and you're making them be so bonded to you. And then you just leave them in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing it to them. Right. Yeah. I'm not justifying the fact that they're lashing out at you, but I'm also saying that you don't understand what you just did to their brain. I also want to talk about adolescence, because this article also went into detail about this. Okay. Because a lot of times what will happen is people will start having sex in high school or younger.
Yeah.
The minute they can have sex, they start doing it. Okay. It's really unfortunate.
It is.
So
I wasn't even in high school yet. It was terrible.
Yeah. A 2017 high school survey showed that both boys and girls who have had sex are more likely to be depressed than their friends who have not had sex. And another survey showed that students who had not had sex had a lower percentage of suicidal thoughts than their more sexually active classmates. An adolescent mind cannot handle the consequences of having sex.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many parents I have heard talk about how worried they are about the mental health of the next generation. And to hear that part of it comes from having sex, it's not drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you feeling left out because of your friends. It's not bullies. It's the fact that you are being intimate with people that you are never going to marry.
Yeah, and then what that leads to is, like Michelle just mentioned, you're attached to the dopamine hit. So the reason why you're depressed is because you're not getting your drug.
Yep.
And newsflash, people, one night stands, going this one to this one to this one to this one, like, that's not going to last forever.
No.
You know? So
it's the same with a drug.
Yeah.
You're patching it.
Yeah. You may go through a dry spurt of 3 months of not having sex. You're going to be so depressed after 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. If you are dependent on it. Let me say
it's literally coming off of a drug.
Yeah. I have very dear friends of mine who were addicted to cocaine. And I'll tell you one thing right now. When they got to week one or week two of them not doing a bump or something, it's like their world is like falling in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how depressed you're going to be if you're so reliant on it.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, just get married to your one night stand. No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
I always like to add some comedy when I can.
Yeah, that was a very serious topic.
Yeah.
No, but I'll share that article below if you want to read more into it. And just do your own research. There's so much science behind it.
Yeah.
And I wish someone would have told the younger me all of this stuff. Same. I was told, I was scared out of it in the Methodist church, but I was never told why. There was no explanation for really anything that I was learning when I was at that church. And it was really sad, because it led me to believe that that was going to fulfill me and that that was going to help my relationship. And I'm proud of myself for waiting as long as I did when I was in the relationship. Like the first time I had sex, I did wait a little while, but I gave in eventually, you know, and that's why I also stress to not be in a serious relationship when you're in high school, because now there's a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of stories. One of our really good friends, they're about to get married in September. They've been together since high school. It's very, very possible.
Yeah, sure.
But if you don't see yourself marrying that person and you just want to be with them just to date them, and then you eventually fall into that trap of, well, you know, we've been together for a long time, so we might as well do this. Yeah. And then you guys break up. Like, there is so much mental health damage that happens to you. I'm going to be vulnerable right now. Another reason why I'm so passionate about this is because of how much I have struggled with my mental health just because of this.
Yeah.
So I've talked about before, like having panic attacks, that and getting diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and I was on medicine. That was actually in a phase of my life where I was kind of in between what I was doing, and I was actually too bored to where it caused so much anxiety because I wasn't sure doing anything. And there was also a lot going on with like family members and just a lot of adjustments. So that didn't have anything to do with it. But when I was in high school, I remember one of the friends that I had during that phase in my life, I called her because I was really upset that my high school boyfriend and I were like on and off so much. And we had just gotten into a fight, and I called her and I literally told her that I did not want to be alive anymore. And I was bawling my eyes out, and she called the cops, and my cops showed up at my house, and my dad answered the door, and my dad was like, "What's going on? Why are you, why did this cop say that you said this, and like, what's going on?" And in my mind, I was just so hurt from the relationship that I was in, because I knew that I wasn't going to marry him. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was literally destroying me, but I was so tied to him that I felt like I couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so passionate about this, is because people don't understand, like, it's not just an action that can just be thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that God created to be in marriage for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's to protect you. That's why I said that at the beginning. Everything that is in God's Bible literally is written and said and put into action to protect us. Mm-hmm. It's not to hurt us or to make us feel left out. The world's making you feel left out. Not God.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I was just about to say that, honey. The whole, you know, I was in relationships in high school. You were too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be the first to say it. A lot of the times when you get into relationships in high school or college, you do it for status.
Yeah.
You do it because everyone else is in one. You feel left out. You want to go around and say, oh, I have a girlfriend or a
boyfriend.
That
was what it was for me.
And that's what it was for me. The reason why I hung on to my girlfriend for so long was not only the sex part, was because I was like, well, I don't want to be alone. I want to have the status of having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's not coming from God. That's coming from the world of sin that we live in.
Yeah.
Everyone else tries to make you feel left out.
Yeah. So we've talked about this in other episode, but real quick, just to end this, I kind of want to touch on like getting close to it and kind of what you mentioned earlier about like people justifying it because they say that they're going to get married. So getting close to it is something that you need to be mindful of your convictions that you're feeling from God, and your partner needs to be mindful of the convictions they're feeling from God. If you guys start to get handsy and don't feel convicted, I don't believe you, because there's a lot of people who are like, well, how close can you get without actually doing it and like it being a sin? Well, the Bible's not clear on that, but the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah.
So be mindful of that and invite him into your relationship so that he can convict you. And again, if you keep ignoring him and keep ignoring him, we talked about this before because John Bevere mentioned it, that those convictions will start to get really quiet if you keep ignoring them.
Yep.
So just be mindful of that. And then also, if you're justifying having sex because you plan on getting married to them, like we mentioned earlier, they're not yours yet. So you are still taking something from them without actually entering into a covenant with them. So when we talked about covenantness, like actually taking something that's not yours, they still belong to God. Mm-hmm. They're not yours yet. You haven't made them yours. So basically, you want your cake before you pay the price.
There we go. Yep.
Because we talked about this when we had our wedding. Asher was in a suit. Typically, you wear black. He was wearing navy. He was going to his funeral. You mentioned this on one of your episodes. You were dying to yourself so that we could become one. And if you were having sex with someone before you died to yourself, you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't understand what it's like to be married.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. I say this all the time. And a lot of people don't understand it until they actually go through it. There's nowhere in the Bible and there's no ceremony on earth that you go to the altar to live.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. You go to the altar to
sacrifice.
Die.
Sacrifice.
You know, yeah. You go to the altar to sacrifice. You know, in church they say, leave these things at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know, you put down alcohol in the note card. You leave it at the altar. Is that alcohol being put there to live with you? No, it's actually being there to be sacrificed and for it to die.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, on my wedding day, I did not meet Michelle up at the altar to live my best life.
Yeah.
Even though it is. Yeah. That's not the point, though. The point of going to the altar is to die to your old self and to turn over to a new life. And that's what Michelle and I did.
Yeah.
She died to herself. I died to myself. And that's when you become one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say on that matter, yeah. too. So, you know, again, y'all can send Michelle and I all the Bible verses you want.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. But I'm going to save y'all the time and say, if you want to have sex with your partner before you get married, my response will be this. Just go down to the courthouse and get married. It'll take 10. My grandma and grandfather did not have sex before marriage. They got married in 4 months of knowing each other. I think it's what she did. 4 months.
My grandparents were 2 weeks.
They were 2 weeks.
Yep.
Mine were 4 months. My grandma and grandpa went to the courthouse. Mm-hmm. No one there. My grandmother to the courthouse said, can you marry us in 10 minutes? I got to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the courthouse. They paid money. They got married. They've been married for almost 60 years, I think. Mm-hmm. I think 58 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to say you got to have a ceremony to be married, it's BS. And you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, you know it too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sure. Go have sex with the woman. Go to the courthouse first. If you're truly about being with this woman for the rest of your life, then why would you not be legally bonded to it?
Yeah.
If we're being true, I mean, let's be honest, because I know a lot of people say, real quick before we end, I know a lot of people say the government just ruins relationships. They don't help. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I don't mean to talk about money. I'm married to Michelle. My tax break is nuts because now I'm married. I'm just being real. Just
that's
because you
have.
That's
not why we got married.
That's not why we got married. But I'm saying, like, for y'all to say there's no benefits.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all understand what the true definition of benefits are.
Yeah.
I have a ton of
we
benefits.
We share everything. What's yours is mine.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that excuse either. Well, the government just ruins relationships. Well, I mean,
no, it's
maybe in some cases, but for the majority of cases,
the people saying that have probably witnessed divorces go to court and the woman getting all the money because the man did something bad.
Sure.
And they're taking the man's side.
Exactly.
That's probably the people that are saying.
Yeah. And I will say, okay, well, you want to have sex with this woman, so you say you're going to be with her for the rest of your life. Y'all aren't going to get a divorce. That's not in the cards. So just go to the courthouse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, before y'all Bible thump me with a bunch of stuff, I know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
All right.
And we also have experienced both sides.
Yeah. I've read it. I've studied it. If y'all want to send me it, go ahead. My response is going to be, cool. Thank you for your consideration. I'm still going to say go to the courthouse before you have sex.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Y'all are never going to change my mind.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys know.
And I just want to say this real quick.
Sure.
Because we talked about this earlier. That the man is supposed to lead the woman, biblically. And if you're the man asking, well, can we just have sex because I plan on marrying her? You're being extremely selfish because, like I said, you want to have your prize before you pay the price of the ultimate sacrifice, okay, of dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for you because I don't know that I want, well, actually, I know for a fact that I would never want a man that says that to lead me.
Yeah, that's
So I pray that your girlfriend also knows that you're asking that question, because if she doesn't, I would tell her that you asked that question and that you've been wondering that. And if you're a girl and you're with a guy who's saying all of that stuff, I would question his character.
Yeah.
I truly would.
Yeah, I know this episode is probably heavy for a lot of you guys, but hey, the Bible is a heavy book.
Yeah.
It's also the truth.
Yeah.
So remember.
And we're talking about all of this to protect you guys, because we have been in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And we know what it feels like. And we also know how special it is to now be married and be in that covenant and just feel safe with each other to do that in the right context.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very special. And it again just strengthens my faith even more. And just reassures me that God always has our best interest.
Yeah.
Because we know what it feels like to be on the other side of it. So hopefully this helped you guys. Please actually take what we said and just think about it.
Yeah. We're not here to change your mind.
Yeah, we're not.
If you're set on having sex before marriage, I mean, we can't save you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had sex before marriage and it's been terrible, and we've also waited and it was a lot better.
You know?
And a lot of people may argue, well, that's just because y'all knew you were getting married. Okay. I mean, yeah, you can say that if you want, but we've been on both sides.
Yeah.
Trust me when I tell you guys, I thought I was going to be marrying a lot of women.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I was told I was going to be marrying a lot of men.
Yeah. I also just want to say one more thing.
Okay.
This is the one relationship, actually, well, the first one before this didn't really count. This is the first relationship that I've been in that I haven't had sex before marriage, and we're married.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy how that works.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Sin literally keeps us in chains, and we want you free, and we want your mental health to be where it should be with Jesus, and we just are saying all of this to protect you guys. So yeah, hopefully this helped. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys for watching. If you stayed to the end or listening, if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening, we actually get more listeners than watchers. But if you didn't know, there is a video version on YouTube that you guys can check out. So
yeah.
And also for all my ladies out there, stay tuned, because your girl is starting a YouTube channel.
Yes.
So.
Yep. My hot wifey is starting a YouTube channel. So y'all men don't go hit on her.
Honey.
Even though y'all probably will.
Asher will probably be featured in a lot of videos.
Yeah, probably.
Cause,
what can I say? I'm kind of the star of the show.
I mean, truthfully. He is the funny, goofier one. So that is for sure.
Look at Bella. She's all being right. Stinky.
Bella, you want to close us out? Say bye.
Okay. All right, bye guys.
She's so tired.
Bye guys. See y'all next Wednesday on the tripod. Bye bye.